Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Sign of the Times, everybody. We're going to play Libations, and we'll be right back.
Praise and thanks. Mojuba Akoda, Mojuba Asheda, Mojuba Aluwa Mi, Apolabi Pega, Mojuba Araba Mi, Adesanya Awuyade, Mojuba Ogute Compound Ode Remo, Mojuba Baba, Mojuba Yeye, Mojuba Egun to all the God children, Mojuba Egun to all the Babalawos, the Ears, Mojuba Egungun to all the chiefs, Mojuba Egungun to all the Awos, Mojuba Egungun to all those that are listening, who are tuned in. We give praise and thanks to the Most High. We say Ashe, 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 Ashe-o.
Ashe-o. Welcome to Sign of the Times, everyone. This is Queen Tahira. Sign of the Times is brought to you by the UAC, the United African Coalition for Justice and Human Rights. We began the UAC after the unjust Zimmerman verdict of 2013, and every Sunday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we invite you to be a part of our weekly conference calls. The number to dial is area code 712-432-1500, and the access code is 220-981-pound. Again, every Sunday at 6:30 p.m., please call in. Let us know what's going on in your community, in your city, and how the UAC and Sign of the Times can possibly support you. We are a national broadcast, and we appreciate our sponsors as well. The number to dial for that weekly conference call again is area code 712-432-1500, and the access code is 220-981-pound. We also ask that you reach out to our sponsors via social media on Facebook and the World Wide Web. Our sponsors are Manhood, Race, and Culture, where Dr. James Jones is with us on Tuesdays and Fridays with Brothers of the Sun. Also, Unity Design on the World Wide Web at unitydesign.com. And you can reach out to Arlie Gordon on Facebook as Arlie Gordon or Unity Design. And Unity is spelled U-N-I-T-E-E. So please reach out to our sponsors, because without them, we could not have Sign of the Times on the air. So tonight, we are very glad to have on board the Sickle Cell Alliance here in Cincinnati. Ladies, if you're online, please push 1 so I can bring you in queue. As you all know, the Black Panther Party was very active in starting community sickle cell testing, and it has continued since the mid-60s, late-60s. And we need something like that in the community, because we are disproportionately affected by sickle cell, and even if it's sickle cell trait, we still need to be aware of what sickle cell means and help to educate the community, especially our families, on exactly what it is. So I'm going to go ahead and open up the line. It looks like we have someone here. Please, who am I speaking with?
Hi, my name is Lisa Meacham. I'm the Executive Director of Sickle Cell Alliance Foundation.
Welcome, Lisa. Thank you so much for being with us tonight.
Thank you for inviting me.
Okay, will the other ladies be joining us as well?
I think one more. Our program manager, Tasha Heisel, is joining us. Sonia Moore, our director of public relations, won't be able to make it this evening.
Okay, all right. Well, Tasha, if you're on the line, please push 1 so I know that it's you, and I can open up your line and bring you in the queue. So, Lisa, please introduce yourself. Let us know who you are and how you got involved with the sickle cell.
Well, I have a daughter that is 10 years old. She has sickle cell SS disease. She was the first child born in Cincinnati in the year of 2002, actually in the state of Ohio, with sickle cell. She's 13 years old now, and it's time for her to start transitioning to adult care. She had all of her treatment at Cincinnati Children's Hospital, and they are wonderful. They pretty much have a little bit of everything that we've needed so far for her care. And I just got to thinking, we've been in existence for about a year and a half now, and I got to thinking, you know, what happens after we leave children? And I would ask the nurses and the social workers at the hospital, you know, what programs are there available for her to help her, you know, make it as an adult with sickle cell? And essentially there was nothing they could offer us as a referral or as, you know, assistance. There is a comprehensive sickle cell center at University Hospital. And then I think there is also a clinic at Christ Hospital, but I'm not aware of there being an actual sickle cell doctor available at either facility. So that concerned me because, you know, even going through school, anything that we need or I have a question about, there's someone there at Children's Hospital, but there's no one available within the community to offer the same services for transitioning adults over from children to an adult patient.
So at first, you would transition to adult care?
Well, no, not at 13. I'm just thinking ahead. I'm kind of one of those people that try to be ready for everything. And so she can stay there until she's 18. But after she's 18, she has to go to an adult facility. And I've heard nothing but horror stories from other adults who are being treated in the area.
Wow. Well, it looks like Tasha may be on the line. Peace. Welcome.
Hello, how are you?
I'm well, thank you, sis. How are you?
I'm great.
Good, good. So, Tasha, please introduce yourself as well.
I am Latasha Heisel, and I am the program manager for Sickle Cell Alliance Foundation.
Well, welcome. Thank you so much for taking the time to join us this evening. So,
no problem.
So tell us, Lisa and Tasha, what is sickle cell and what does that mean to someone who may have a sickle cell trait or total sickle cell?
Well, sickle cell is a blood disease. A person with sickle cell trait needs to be conscious of the fact that they have the trait, because if they mate with another person that also has sickle cell trait, they have a 25% chance of every child that they have being born with sickle cell disease. The word sickle is a word that they use to describe the shape of your blood cells. Your blood cells are normally round and soft, which enables them to flow through your body, and, you know, it's normal for you. But when you have any form of infection, fever, or something going on in your body that you may not even know of, blood cells turn into the shape of a sickle. Those blood cells are hard, they're sticky, and they get clogged in your veins. And as they get clogged, there's no oxygen being transferred to the other parts of your body. When you're born with sickle cell in Ohio, or all children in Ohio are tested for sickle cell. That's one of the diseases that they test when they prick the baby on their foot when they're first born. It's one of the diseases that they are testing for. So you pretty much know whether your child has sickle cell or not within a matter of weeks. After that, immediately they start them on penicillin to help them fight off any types of infections in their body, and they take penicillin up until they're age 5. I think also recently they just began giving children at the age of 9 months a new medication that's being taken, and it's actually working very well, called hydroxyurea. Hydroxyurea is another medication that is actually typically taken by cancer patients, but it has the studies have shown that it's being doing really well for sickle cell patients as well. There's so many different things that a sickle cell patient may have. My daughter, for instance, they do a brain ultrasound at the age of 5 to monitor brain activity. And what they're looking for is any sign of her possibly having a stroke. That test will let you know whether she has had a stroke, hasn't had a stroke, or that she possibly could have a stroke. In our situation, her test came back conditional, which means that there was a likelihood that she would have a stroke. So to prevent that from happening, she's been on transfusion therapy every 4 weeks since 2006. So every 4 weeks we go and we do blood typing before we go to the hospital, like a couple days before, so that they can match up her blood type and everything for her treatment. We then go in for her treatment, and we're there for at least about 8 hours for the process of them taking some blood off. We take at least 50 syringes of blood off to kind of try and decrease the amount of iron buildup in her organs, and then they put 3 bags of blood back in. And that kind of, so far, has been doing really well for her and keeping her out of the hospital. That doesn't mean she doesn't have pain instances. She does. She just hasn't had to be hospitalized for any infections or any crises per se, which is what they call it when your body is in pain from sickle cell complications. They call it a crisis.
I'm sorry, Lisa. I got booted off the air. I apologize. That we've been having so many problems with sickle cell. So when a person is tested and they come back positive with sickle cell trait or sickle cell anemia, what are some of the signs that, you know, affect them, and how does it affect the body?
Well, typically, if they have the sickle cell trait, there's little to no signs or anything for them to look for. It's very seldom that they actually have any problems. As a child with sickle cell trait, I know my mom always thought that was the reason why I had a lot of nosebleeds growing up, and I couldn't be in a lot of heat all the time because she attributed to my trait. And then, you know, watching my daughter grow up, extreme heat causes her to not be able to breathe well. And she also has nosebleeds. So for me, that kind of proves that my mom knew what she was talking about at that time. But because I only had the trait, there wasn't any specific doctor appointments or anything as a person with the trait that I had to attend. One of the things that my daughter experienced is she had swelling of her hands and feet, probably when she was about 10 months old, because she was already walking. Her hands and feet swelled up, and she couldn't walk on them because they hurt so bad. So they had to give her some IV fluids and some antibiotics. Even after the swelling went down, she wouldn't walk anymore because she was afraid, you know, that it was going to cause her pain.
Mm.
I'm looking for the name of what that was called for you. But that was just one of the things. There's really no signs. I mean, one of the biggest things that the doctors tell you to look for is the swelling of the hands and feet, the, you know, constant crying, or if you touch them in a certain area and they cry as a baby because they can't communicate, they don't know what's going on, they can't communicate to you, you know, that they're having this pain. So you're just, like, very cautious and monitor them a little bit more to see, you know, if anything happens. You're also looking for signs of stroke, if they have slurred speech, one side of their face slumped down, or them not using one side of their body, things of that sort. If they have a fever of 101 or more, they automatically have to go to the hospital. At Children's Hospital, if you're a sickle cell patient, you don't wait in the emergency room. You immediately mm-hmm. go to the back, and you're given a room, and this is at Cincinnati Children's Hospital, that you're given a room closest to the nurse's station so they can watch you. And they try and get you pain medication as soon as they can because they want to prevent you from going into a full crisis.
Mm-hmm. Well, so does a person ever grow out of having sickle cell?
No, ma'am. The life expectancy for a person with sickle cell used to be in the early 20s, just because they just didn't expect people, you know, there's not enough research being done to support finding multiple medications to help sickle cell patients or other types of treatment therapy that can be used. There's so much work that needs to be done, and that was the purpose of us getting together and saying, okay, we need to do something.
Absolutely. So tell us, Tasha, what has your experience been like so far working with the Sickle Cell Alliance, and what is it that you do?
Everything has been wonderful so far. Right now we're putting projects together as far as fundraising.
Okay, I know you all have a skating event coming up as well, don't you?
Yes, it's on September the 24th. And then we also have a Ride for a Cure with the motorcycles. That is on September 13th.
Okay, so you said September the 13th. Where is that event going to be taking place?
The Ride for the Cure is going to be at a park that's on Daly Road in Cincinnati, Ohio. Registration starts at 11 o'clock. The riders ride out at 12, and they will return back, and we will start our fundraising.
Wow.
The park
nice.
Is called McElroy Park. It's right on the corner of Daly and North Bend.
Okay. Okay, I know where that is. Okay, so how do people...
I also was able to find...
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I'm sorry, I was going to say I was able to find what it's called when your hand and foot swell. They call it hand and foot syndrome, but it's called dactylitis.
Dactylitis.
And that's when their hands and feet swell. And, it, I mean, there's just extreme pain. I know my daughter recently explained her pain as if a knife is just stabbing you repeatedly in a certain area.
Yeah, I have a younger cousin who has experienced sickle cell, and as you described, when she goes into an episode with her sickle cell, she may spend a week to 2 weeks, you know, in the hospital under care until it subsides.
Yes.
And she does work and everything. She's in her early 20s, but you know, it's sometimes a struggle. For her to,
yes.
you know, get past those episodes once they do happen. About how long is the average time when, you know, an episode takes place?
Sickle cell is so unpredictable that there is no average time. Every case is based on its own merits. There's difference. There's some children that have experienced some things that my daughter's never experienced. My friend or Sonia, our other partner, her daughter has only had 4 transfusions in her life, whereas my daughter has had 1 every 4 weeks since 2006 for the last 9 years. Some people never have a blood transfusion in their life, but she has to maintain the energy she needs just to live.
Mhm. So what is that like when they have to have a blood transfusion, and it would seem as though that would do a certain amount of cleansing to where, you know, the blood cells would remain whole. So can you explain what that process is like and what takes place with that?
Yeah, she has a port in her chest that makes it easy for them to access her. Before we initially got the port, my mom and my husband were totally against her having any form of surgery. And I had to explain to them, you know, we have to take our emotions out of the situation, and we have to figure out what's going to make all of this easier for her. Because she's the one going through this. She's the one getting stuck. When she was an infant and she would have fevers, you would get a nurse who doesn't really know that sickle cell patients have very tiny veins, and so it'll roll on you. It's gone in the next second. And so she's getting stuck 3 and 4 times, and I'm sitting there in the emergency room, and I'm crying and crying and crying because my baby is crying, and I can't do anything about it. And so when they said she needed to do these transfusions and they suggested the port, I immediately said yes. And I didn't care what anybody else had to say about it. I wanted to do whatever was going to make life easier on her. Just this year she got, that port was replaced and she got a second port. And this summer I was asking her, I said, well, do you want me to buy you thicker strapped tank tops because the port is in her upper chest area. And she has some scars there from the first port and the second port. And she said, mm-hmm. No, Mommy, I'm not ashamed of it. She said, this is my life. This is, you know, this is me, and I don't care what anybody thinks. And that just let me know, you know, she's realizing, because there was a time when she was embarrassed. She didn't want people to see that she had a port because she's so thin, you can visibly see a hump under her skin where the port is.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, that let me know that she was maturing, and I was just so proud of her, you know, not being embarrassed by what's going on in her health, because she shouldn't be. She shouldn't have to be have to feel that way. You know,
and at
right.
Yeah, I was going to say at that age too, they go through, you know, transitioning into being a teenager and then into adulthood. So there's things that they deal with anyway, and that's remarkable. She must be very mature for her age.
Well, you know, everything that she's been through, she has no choice.
Mm-hmm.
She has no choice. I'm trying to think. The hospital does offer a lot of programs, but they need help. They can't do everything. So we've partnered with the hospital. They, you know, help provide us with materials to pass out in the community. We're in the process of getting a petition going so that we can get a license plate for sickle cell. And if I'm not mistaken, some of the proceeds for those license plates will go to support sickle cell awareness.
Well, that's great. Is the petition out now, or is it still in the works?
Oh, we have it, and then we have it at every event that we attend or that we have, where people can fill out the information. We are working on our website, and we hope to have that on the website as well, where people can sign on the website. We need at least 500 signatures to be approved for the plate.
Okay. Well, I definitely will help in any way I can, you know, because as you know, I'm here in Cincinnati with you. Yeah, if there's that we can do to help get those petitions out, if we have to go door to door, hey, we're willing to do that if that's what it takes. Because I do agree with you that it's important that we have access to care. One of the things that I picked up on at Children's Hospital, like you said, they have to leave children at the age of 18. However, children who have cancer can stay to the age of 21 or 25, I believe it was. And one of the things that I had asked the group that I was involved with, and it's called the People of Color Wellness Alliance, and they meet on the first Thursday of the month. So if you're not busy tomorrow morning at 9 a.m., please give me a call and we can meet there. One of the things I had asked them is that why does the age limit for sickle cell, why is it 18, but cancer patients can stay a lot longer, meaning that, you know, they continue to get that passion and that care that you've seen already. And no one really had an answer for me. Have you ever proposed that they extend the age at Children's? And if so, you know, what was that discussion like?
Yes, that's another thing on our agenda. It boils down to funding. There's not enough funding supporting sickle cell to enable the hospital to do so. Are more people in the United States with sickle cell anemia than there are people with cystic fibrosis?
Wow.
There are over 100,000 people in the United States that has this inherited disease.
Wow.
Those numbers are, oh my goodness. I don't even know how to describe it. Those numbers are just astounding. But, you know, we don't want to cry over spilled milk. We just want to try and do something about it, whether it be do some advocacy with our congressmen, anything that we can do. But, you know, we first have to start here in Cincinnati. We've opened ourselves up not only for children, but we're also into helping adults. And, you know, we are 501c3 certified, so we are working on, you know, obtaining some grants to expand what we can do for different people. And we're just looking for more support from the community to help us. I mean, it takes more than the three of us, but we're gonna keep fighting no matter what.
That's right. That's right. Well, you all sound very determined and to accomplish what you've already accomplished so far and getting your 501c3 status shows that you're committed to, you know, making this thing happen. So yeah, let's continue to network and continue to work together. Now, what does a person do if they don't know if they've ever been tested or, you know, would like to be tested? What should they do?
They need to talk to their primary doctor. And it will be a simple blood test for them to run to see if they have the trait. If they have sickle cell, they more than likely will know. Mm-hmm. They may not know everything about it or what exactly, what form of sickle cell. I mean, for instance, I did have a gentleman call me in his early 20s needing some help, and he didn't know what type of sickle cell he had, whereas, you know, I drill it into my daughter's head. She knows exactly what type of sickle cell she has, as well as the different types of sickle cell. So we need to be able to at least provide the basics for the families and for the patients, just so they can, you know, just try and live a normal life. And you said was it your cousin or your niece that has sickle cell?
My cousin.
Your cousin. It's absolutely wonderful for her to be able to have a job. You know, my daughter misses so much school that I get letters threatening truancy and you know, saying that she's been tardy so many days because we're getting up and we're trying to take medication where she can feel okay to be able to go to school. But they do have 504 plans in the schools as well as an IEP that can help where you're not penalized for those different things. But again, as a parent or as a person living with the disease, if you don't know about that, how do you know to ask?
That's true. That's true.
Yeah, so the families need support.
So the education piece, is there anything that the schools are doing to educate the community on sickle cell?
Not that we're aware of, but we're in the process of putting together some packets to be able to provide to the nurses in the schools with some general information so that they'll just have it on hand in case they do encounter a student with sickle cell.
Absolutely. Now, Lisa, you said that there are different types of sickle cell. I didn't know that there were different types. I either thought you were negative or you had the trait or you had sickle cell. Can you tell us about the types of sickle cell and what's the difference?
Yes. Just one second. There is sickle cell SC. There is sickle cell thalassemia. I can't pronounce that word very well. And then there's sickle cell SS. Sickle cell SS is the worst form of sickle cell that you can have. Just a second. They all have different levels of what you may experience with them.
Hold on. Okay. While you set up, take a caller?
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to go ahead and open up the line. 3557. Welcome to Sign of the Times. Who are we speaking with?
Hey, how y'all doing?
Hey, Bridget.
Hello.
How are you?
Hey. How are y'all doing today?
Okay.
Okay. Well, basically, I just wanted to share a little bit of information, some little research that I did, because my child's father, he has sickle cell, and after his mother's funeral, I noticed that he was losing a lot of weight and getting malnourished, so I did some research on what to buy for him to help him with the pain and stuff like that. The only research that I've seen was that basically it deals with your red blood cells, and whatever is missing, that color is what you need to add to your body. Like, you know, eat red beans and raspberries, anything red, and they said rosemary, any type of herbs will help with the pain. And I would suggest going to an African herbalist, because we have one here in Augusta where I stay at, and she basically, you have to do your own research on what type of herbs that you want to buy before you even come to her. So there are people that's out there, you know, that don't really practice up under the government to help, you know, with your journey on everything. And just have a diet with a lot of vegetables. I've seen a video that said coconut oil is good, and something else, some other things. You know, I would just look for natural cures. I was looking for my daddy's herbal Bible that he has around here, but I can't find it at the moment. But pretty much there is a cure for pretty much everything, but they're not giving it to the streets because everything is like a moneymaker to them. And what they do is, like, you know, they just keep on having campaigns and stuff like that to raise the money. But, you know, they're just taking so long to come up with a solution, because every problem has a solution, you know, whether they say it or not. But it's up to us, you know, like we're talking now, you know, we could compare, like, with two different people or do, like, our own research, you know, and see what things help with those symptoms and see what things help with that type of disease, because I know that it could be hard, because at times he can't even work, you know, he goes through the pain and he can't even get disability because of it. When, you know, my son, I was concerned about my son because I was like, I told the doctor, I was like, does he have sickle cell? And he was like, no. He was like, but if you see any symptoms, just bring him back or whatever. But he encouraged me to get a multivitamin supplement, and also fish oil is good for it too. Now, I'm not sure about the fish oil that comes out of the grocery store, but I do see one, and it's called Omega-03. This guy here from Augusta, he sells it or whatever, and it deals with inflammatory, you know, anything with inflammatory or whatever, it deals with that or whatever. So the fish oil, the rosemary, herbs, vegetable diet, drink a lot of fluids, because like she said, her daughter had went through a situation where they was giving her fluids. So keep your juices and water, most importantly, you know, alkaline water is the best thing to use. You know, first thing first, when you get up in the morning, the thing you want to do is drink water, because the water is going to balance out those cells in your body to help the cells, you know, go ahead and as well as reproduce and fight off diseases or whatever. Because if you have a sugary diet, that's going to attack your cells automatically. That's the thing. Cut the sugar out from your diet, you know, because you want your cells to be strong. You want to be able to fight off diseases as well as be strong and as well as produce more cells. Breast milk is another one, but that increases white blood cells. So what you want to do, that I guess that would help, but at the same time, you want to increase your blood flow. You want to increase your blood cells, you know. So the thing is, whatever sickness that you do have, look up a herb. You know, dandelion is a good one. Drink the dandelion tea, you know. I would say, because I ain't gonna lie, I just come up with things in my mind and I tell people to do it. And, like, it, within a month's time, they go back to the doctor and they be straight. Like, my friend, she had where her bladder was overactive on top of her kidneys were about to fail. So I started buying stuff myself. I started buying her raspberries. I bought her some raspberry pills. And I told her to eat herbs, and she was eating, like, a lot of fruit during the day and drinking the cranberry juice, cranberry this mm-hmm. and cranberry, whatever you could find with cranberry in it. And pretty much within a month's time, she went back to the doctor. She was fine. So that's why I say, you know, I would add hemp oil to my diet also because that would help with pain, you know. And, you know, just keep the fluids flowing, coconut oil, all the herbs and vegetables. That's the key. And whatever sickness that you have, go with the color. You got to add color to your diet in order for it to be effective, and drink the alkaline water, because the alkaline water is, you know, the rocks that the alkaline water goes through, it adds that energy to the water to be able to help your cells and stuff fight off diseases. So drink that glass of water in the morning, eat those herbs, and eat those vegetables, and I'll follow that with that.
Well, thank you for that.
Well, he kicked his name. I'm sorry, y'all, but that's basically what I studied or whatever. And carrots is a good one, too. I bought him a whole bunch of carrots, a whole bunch of, what else did they say? Lemongrass, some of everything. And don't just do organic out the store. You could trust your local farms better than you do the grocery store, because I look at some of that stuff and I'm looking like, what in the world is that? You know, because it don't look organic to me, you know. So, mm-hmm. you know, kind of like shop around with your farms, with your local farms, with the people on the side of the road, so you know those people put the right seeds in the ground. They didn't use the required poisons that they put in our food. And, you know, try to order you some herbs from a different country, because if cancer could be cured, anything could be cured. Because I had one girl come to me, she was crying about her dad, and I told her, you know, you can't tell black people anything, but her father, he's Caucasian or whatever, she's Spanish, and her father was going through prostate cancer, and she was hysterical. I said, you know what, Mary, calm down, because you don't want, you know, the first thing with healing is thinking. I'm healed. You get what I'm saying? So shall the mind speak and the heart speak and the mouth speak. You speak life upon your body, and that will cause your cells and your body and your DNA to respond to that frequency. Just like, you know, Professor Griff said that they took a glass of water and put it in the middle of the room, and they spoke bad things to one glass and they spoke good things to the other glass. Those frequencies are what, you know, change those molecules inside of that water to turn it dark. So the ones that were spoken the bad to, that's the one that turned darker. So the first thing is to think healing and speak healing upon your body. Write things down. Speak those things that are not daily.
How is your mate now? How is he in his diet? And did that make a difference?
Oh, he's doing well. He just has the trait, I guess. And the doctor just told me a multivitamin and vitamin B and vitamin D and folic acid, and he'll be fine. And that's what I've been doing since he got here, you know, and he's been fine. And I would recommend Juice Plus. They have a membership with Juice Plus where your if you get it for you, your son or daughter could get it for free until they get in college. And I think it's like a lifetime membership, like with the kids. They could get it, like, after they grow up or whatever. Can you wait for a second? I'm sorry, baby. But that'll help make sure they get all their vegetables and all their vitamins that is required for today. So he's doing pretty good, and I pray and hope and send healing energies out to your family. And I encourage you to do, you know, your own personal research, because with doctors, they just practice. And trust your own instincts, too. Our ancestors, they didn't go to the doctor. And I'm not discouraging you from going to the doctor, but at the same time, they're around you to counsel you. So you have to dig into that frequency to listen, and they'll tell you what proper things to put into that baby. You know, like you could be just shopping, and the answer is just tell you, pick up this oil, pick up that herb. There's essential oils out there. I know we have a store down here with essential oils where he sells, like, the lavender oil, all kinds of oils, and all of them deal with all kinds of diseases. So, you know, that's a good thing to look into, too.
Sister Brigette, I'm going to connect you and sister on Facebook so you all can stay in touch with one another. So, Sister Lisa, have you found any research that says that it can have an impact on sickle cell anemia?
I have seen several different pages and different research studies where they suggest exactly what she's talking about, eating more berries. My daughter drinks probably 90% water than anything else, not only to just help keep her hydrated, but it's better for her. But mm-hmm. I have heard of some people self-treating with the herbs and with the different dietary changes to help them manage their disease better. And I believe that it's with anything that you do, you have to believe in it. If you don't believe in it, it's not going to work. So, you know, if you believe in it, it's kind of like mind over matter. If you believe in it, 9 times out of 10, it's going to work for you. And you're going to be wholeheartedly into it to make it work for you. So even if it works for you and you tell somebody else to do it, if they don't dive into it, that's just like with any other disease. If they don't dive into it and give it their all, it may not work for them. So they have to rely on the doctors and the medication and things of that sort. But certainly I have heard of different herbs, different foods, vegetables, things of that sort, more fruits, you know, in their diet, and definitely water to help fight off a multitude of diseases. I also found the information for the different types of sickle cell disease. Hemoglobin is the protein in the red blood cells that carry the oxygen. So in your red blood cells, there's 2 alpha chains and 2 beta chains. The 4 main types of sickle cell anemia are caused by the different mutations in those genes. So hemoglobin SS disease is the most common type of sickle cell, and it occurs when you inherit copies of the hemoglobin S gene from both parents. So that's both parents have the trait, and they have a child that has sickle cell SS. Then there's SC, which is the second most common, and it occurs when you inherit the HBC gene from one parent, and the HBS gene from the other. So both of them have the trait, but one of them has SC trait and the other one has SS trait, and you inherit 1S and 1C. Kind of like if you remember in biology where they taught us the X's and O's and how it determines whether a baby is male or female. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
It's somewhat like that. It's like you got 1 in 4 chances of the baby having sickle cell, 1 in 4 chances of the baby not having anything, and 50% chance of the baby having at least the trait when you have 2 parents that both have the trait. So then, let's see. There's beta-0 thalassemia, which is the second, that's the second type of beta thalassemia. There's also hemoglobin SB beta thalassemia. I don't hear very much about that. It says the size of the red blood cells is reduced because less beta protein is made. If inherited, the HBS gene, you will have hemoglobin SB thalassemia. So that's totally different. That's based on the size of their red blood cells.
Mm-hmm.
The size of the red blood cells doesn't really necessarily matter in SS and SC.
Okay. Wow. Okay, so was that 4 different types?
Yes. There's SS, SC, beta thalassemia and beta zero thalassemia.
Okay. Just writing.
And the only information it says about the only difference about beta zero is that it just says that the symptoms are sometimes more severe than beta thalassemia. But you can have two people that have SS and have two totally different experiences with the disease.
Wow.
Another, I know, we know a couple different families in the area that have even multiple children with sickle cell. And I can't imagine having to, I don't see how even a parent can work and be able mm-hmm. to care for their child or their children when they have multiple children with sickle cell. I certainly am blessed to have a husband and a mother and other family members and godparents for my daughter that can step in and help to enable me to be able to maintain a full-time job. It's mm-hmm. hard. So you have to have,
yep.
you know, that support system, you know, just to not only get through the mental of the situation, but just to be able to survive for real.
Mm-hmm. And you said it's unpredictable too, right? You could be fine one day and then wake up with symptoms the next.
Oh, yeah, you can be fine. Sometimes she's outside playing and come in the house and she's lethargic and don't feel good, or it's hurting, or played too hard, and, you know, her hands are hurting, her arms are hurting, or her feet are hurting. And that's one of the struggles with people, is because sickle cell is such a hidden disease, is that they feel as if they can't see it, or they see you playing around 1 minute, and then 5 minutes later, you're laying around, and you're saying you don't feel good, or you're complaining. Sometimes they don't believe you.
Mm-hmm.
And specifically in the adult community where they go to the emergency room, and if you can imagine, most emergency rooms are full of resident doctors that may never have even heard of sickle cell. And when they tell them the type of medication that they need to at least help them balance out, they think that they're lying, that they're just wanting the drugs.
Mm-hmm.
Who wants to take drugs that make you feel, that make you sleepy, make you tired, or make you, you know, just pretty much out of it, just so that you can get rid of the pain? Nobody wants that. Like I said, my daughter, we have oxycodone at home for pain for her. There are adults that can't even take that medication.
Yeah, I got suggestions for that, because you're a minute sometimes. And I would suggest, like, lay them down, give them, the Epsom salt bath. And
uh-huh.
then when you take them out of the bath, this is what you do. You get some Vicks vapor rub. Now, don't be scared of this now. Either if you got some lavender oil, that'll work good too. But I would suggest like something with a vapor in it, sort of like BioFreeze.
Uh-huh.
If you can afford a BioFreeze, that's fine. But if you can't, just take some Vicks vapor rub and rub it into some grease or some oil and just rub them down like that. And that'll take away that pain too, you know. Because I know it's a struggle with that. It really is.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Yeah,
so
go ahead. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm gonna continue to look for this herbal dictionary. But rosemary too, that's a good one too. But go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. That's okay. I mean we need this input because I mean I've learned some things I just did not know. A person has the trait, is it impossible for them to also suffer some of these symptoms, or, you know, is it just
you know, a risk factor with them mating with another person with the trait that the child would also have sickle cell.
Right. It's more concerns about them mating with someone else that has the trait as well. There, like I said, there is little to no findings that they go through everything that someone with full-blown sickle cell actually goes through.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, so is it ever too late to be tested, or is any time a good time to be tested?
Any time's a good time to be tested, but if you imagine how with the disease, if you're, you know, growing up and they can't figure out what's going on or what kind of problems, then they're treating you and they don't know what they're treating you for.
Mm-hmm.
So with the type of complications that you have, like if a child has a fever and they can't find what they usually admit them because they want to know why they have a fever. If they have a fever, it's because there's some kind of infection in their body somewhere. So they try to attack that infection to make it go away. And if they don't know what they're treating, that makes it hard to treat it.
Yeah,
I have heard stories of people who go to doctors who never heard of sickle cell. And, you know, they've been through so many different types of testing and everything, and then at the last minute they find out it's sickle cell because sickle cell is not well known, or the symptoms of it is not well known or anything like that in the hospital. It makes it harder for them to try and treat the patient. That's why we need some more awareness. We need more funding to support research for sickle cell. We need to find a cure for sickle cell.
Yeah, and plus, I would suggest to everybody, before you step foot in any doctor's office, you need to pay attention to yourself, because this is the age of information. And since this is the days of information, I tell my kids this all the time. If this is apocalypse where the things that have been hidden to the normal man, you could just get on Google, type it in, there go your answers. And always, you know, type in the symptoms and try to see, like, what is your spirit trying to tell you is wrong with you, and then go to the doctor to confirm, like, what you're saying, because that's all they do. They don't really know nothing like that. Like, that's a lot of stuff to learn. I done took, like, a medical coding class, and I don't remember half of that stuff. So what they do is they ask you what's wrong with you. You the doctor, you supposed to tell me what's wrong with me. But the thing is, you're supposed to be smart and look those things up and educate yourself on those things, as well as find something to do at home so you won't just be getting the drug and you'll have the antidote to go along with the drug. Or if you just want to get the antidote and put it in your body, that's fine. But just don't depend on outside people, because sometimes it's not in your best interest. You get what I'm saying?
Find out for yourself
and then go to the doctor and tell them what you're experiencing. Write it down in a journal and keep it, and go on the internet and ask them, well, my tongue is hurting today, or my knee is hurting today, or whatever is happening, write it down, you know, or ask the computer. And Google will tell you whatever you need to know. I'm trying to tell you, it sure will, because that's all they do. You be in the emergency room, they be like, hold up, I'll be right back with your discharge papers. What they doing is they typing in on Google or whatever, they little database, your little symptoms to come up with what's wrong. And sometimes they misdiagnose you, and sometimes they've been there not even listening to, like, one thing you said and then told you the wrong total thing. But if you're educated before you go in there, you won't go wrong. I'm telling you. Yeah, because I had that happen with my son. He was having asthmatic, like, coughing. Like, he had that cough that was on TV. But we got through that thing. Forget, went to the doctor. Like, one time, I ain't had no insurance on him. We went to the doctor, like, one time. And, like, my friend, she would give me, like, little stuff that her daughter was taking. And I didn't even barely do that. I just kept on doing what my mind told me to do. And eventually he got rid of that mess. I'm telling you, you have to self-educate before you step foot out your door, you know?
So, Lisa, Brigitte mentioned that it was hard for her mate to get a disability. Is it harder? It seems like, you know, having a definite diagnosis of sickle cell would automatically qualify a person for SSI or disability. Are you finding that to be the case, or is it also a struggle even to get qualified for benefits?
Well, I think she said that he had the trait. And with just the trait, because they don't go through as much as people with sickle cell, it is harder. Would be getting approved for Social Security disability depends upon what your doctors say and what the Social Security doctors say. They, you know, they have to have all of that information from them to support why they're giving you those services or paying you for that.
Yeah. I had to talk to him about it because I don't know if he tried or not, but he was saying that he was going, you know, because my child's father actually has the disease. So it's like he said he tried, but I'm going to talk to him again because sometimes it gets to where his pain be so much he can't even move sometimes. But he hasn't had a breakdown in a while or whatever, so I'm thankful for that. But, you know, I just made sure.
What type of treatment does he do?
I'm not even sure, but I know what I tried to treat him with, and that was the food. And he been good. I don't feed him myself. You know, his wife or whatever does whatever, but I bought, like, a substantial amount of food, like, to last at least 2 years. So he should be good, you know, even though it's canned, but still I bought a lot of carrots, a lot of kidney beans and stuff like that. So far, I haven't heard him in the hospital in years, so I'm thankful for that. But I need to get in touch with him and ask him what does he do to treat himself and stuff like that. But I bought him a whole bunch of vitamins. I did all of that. I got him vitamin D, vitamin E, fish oil. He got the multivitamin. I made sure I got him some rosemary because they said that was good for pain. I just try to make sure I got everything what they told me on that list.
Yeah, most of it is based off of what the doctors say, though, and what the doctors say that you need and why you can't work.
Yeah.
Okay.
What's keeping you from being able to maintain employment?
Yeah, because he'd be getting tired, and I'm like, Lord, one time he had to be in the hospital like for a month, and he had a real bad when he was a little kid. He wasn't even supposed to live, and, you know, he almost, you know, when he came here, for some reason his mother got sick after she had him and stuff like that, and she just transitioned like 2 years ago, but that's beside the point. But, yeah, I do need to talk to him about his health because that be affecting him, you know, taking care of his family as well as my child that I have with him. So, you know, as well as encourage myself and read myself some more on the situation. Like, you know, this is what I asked Google. What food increases the red blood cells? And they'll give me the rundown, everything. You know, that's how I do. Or whatever, you want to drink like red, so everything is red, just red, you know, and especially the water in the morning or whatever, and cherry extract and stuff like that, and cinnamon also is a good one, just all kinds of stuff, you know, get you a juicer. I taste that juice plus, that stuff is good. I didn't think that it was going to be that good, but stuff is good and addictive, you know. So check that out. You know, Dr. Phil Valentine, he's a vendor for Juice Plus. So if you could look up his Facebook page and get in touch with him, you know, he sells the Juice Plus or whatever. And your essential oils, like all of them, they have one for allergies, for sickle cell, for some of everything, cancer, You'll be surprised what is out there waiting on you to come get, you know? Yeah. But, yeah, I'm thankful that you educated me on the different types because I didn't know that there were different types, you know?
Uh-huh.
That's powerful. Like, wow. And they go through a lot. You know, Left Eye, she has sickle cell anemia. I'm not sure what type, but she's been doing pretty good with it. And she lived longer than they said she was going to live. So, you know, it's just, you know, she's a good spokesperson for that, too, as well. So I'm thankful for this information, and this is going to encourage me to do more of the street doctorness, you know. That's just how I am, you know, because of me with a problem, I'm going to sit there and think and be in tune with my mind and tell you, like, hey, this is what you need to do. Go home, go order some hemp oil, you know, the different things. Hemp is the number one for cancer and for pain, too, because the people with cancer, they go through pain, especially with chemo and stuff like that. So I know that's a universal oil or whatever, and they said coconut oil, too. You know, especially if you got younger children with it, it's good to go ahead and put that coconut oil in their drink while they don't even know it, you know. Clean out, too. Do your body cleanse, like, every Monday. Always, you know, take a laxative whenever the baby's home, like maybe Saturday for the child that goes to school. No school lunch either. Ugh. That stuff is sick, and it's not nourishment to nothing. So you're going to probably have to send a lunch with her, you know, because that stuff is terrible. It is so terrible. I don't know what to say. It is so processed, and they so call themselves giving our kids healthy stuff. No, you know. Deal with the 100% juice and stuff like that. Shop at the farms and stuff like that. That's, you know, pretty much all I know about it. And whenever you have a problem, there's always an answer. There's always an answer. Remember that, you know.
Absolutely. Lisa, can you tell people how to reach you? And I'm having some problems getting Tasha back on the line, so I hope she continues to hang out with us while we work this out. But as we get ready to close, can you tell people how they can get involved and how they can find you and the Sickle Cell Alliance?
Yes, we have a Facebook page. It's Sickle Cell Alliance Foundation. We do have a Twitter page, Sickle Cell Alliance Foundation, FDN. And it's actually at Cincinnati_SCAF. You can also email us at scafcincy@gmail.com. That's scafcincy@gmail.com. Or just send us a message on Facebook. We do respond to our messages. Our Facebook page does publicize any events that we have. Again, we have Ride for a Cure, on September 13th at McElroy Park. That's on the corner of Daly Roy Road and North Bend. We'll be there for registration starting at about 10 a.m. We expect to be there till maybe about 3. Even if you don't ride motorcycles, please come by. We're going to have bounce houses for the children. We're going to have other hamburgers, hot dogs, things of that sort. So just come by and get some information if you'd like. We will be accepting donations. We're currently looking for office space, so that's our biggest feat that we're working on right now, somewhere that we can have families come and meet us and, you know, get some services, whatever they need help with. The second event that we have is the skating party, which is going to be at the Fun Factory Roller Skating. That's going to be on Thursday, September 24th from 6 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. The cost is $10, which includes admission, skate rental, and unlimited pizza. We're also going to have a special guest for the children's. Minnie Mouse is going to be there. So we hope you all come out and just come welcome to meet us. Even if you don't have sickle cell, you're more than welcome. We're welcome to meet anyone. And if you want to volunteer or if you want to join the fight, just contact us.
All right. Well, is there anything else that you would like to make sure that the community knows?
Well, specifically, you know, there's everything needs everyone's support. There's so many things going on. People think that sickle cell is a black disease, and it's not. There are Hispanics with sickle cell, and there are African Americans. Excuse me. There are Caucasian families that are aware of sickle cell and fight for sickle cell because they adopt children that have sickle cell. But mm-hmm. we just need to come together and support one another and be open to working towards trying to find a cure, trying to raise funds, trying to lobby our congressmen to let them know that sickle cell needs to be made a government priority. It needs to be made a priority, and we need to receive the same services, funding, and support as any other disease that's out there.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. What has their response been so far when you have reached out to state officials?
Well, like I said, we've been working closely with Cincinnati Children's Hospital, who have been great in getting me and my team members out to meet other people who are already working to lobby, as well as having community-based organizations in their cities giving us ideas of different things that we can do to help come up with additional funds. It's just a matter of doing it. You know, we don't do this full-time. We do all still work full-time jobs because we have to. Mm-hmm. So we do it in all our spare time and try and get as much as we can done during that time.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, I appreciate you and Sister Tasha and Sister Brigette for coming on tonight and talking about this issue. And, you know, as you said before, September is the awareness month. So help us spread this information. Help us educate the community. And if there is anyone that needs to be tested, please encourage them to, you know, go to their primary physician. And so Lisa, let me ask you this real quick before we talk about, what if they don't have a primary physician? Is there a location that they can come to get specifically for sickle cell testing?
Well, no, there's not. But if they don't have a primary physician, if they have any form of insurance, most insurances or all of them have a network of doctors that you can choose from mm-hmm. and find a doctor closest to you and just communicate to them what you want to be tested for, what you think of, and just have a conversation with them about it and go from there, because then they'll, you know, run some blood tests and they'll also see about how they can help you.
Mm-hmm.
Any doctor that cares, if they don't know, they will try their best to find out.
Okay, well, thank you again for coming on, and hopefully we'll be able to have you back on before the end of the month just to give our listeners an update on how things are going and, you know, let them know again how they can support you. I'm going to have this archived, so I'll be sure to send you a recorded link, and sometimes that helps when you're going to funders and things like that to have that media information that you are out here actually, you know, doing what you say that you're about. And God, you know, bless you for, you know, having enough courage to, you know, say, you know, you wanted to make sure that not only your daughter was going to be okay, but you are definitely looking out for the entire community. So thank you so much for that. And thank you to your partners there that you have at the Sickle Cell Alliance as well.
I really appreciate the opportunity to speak with you and just get the word out to let people know that we exist and that we're here. And how they can, you know, reach us and come out and support, volunteer, however they want to participate. We're open to any help that anyone wants to offer.
Okay, well, again, you know, I'm going to be putting your contact information on my page for Sign of the Times as well as my page for Queen Tahira. And we wish you well, and if there's ever anything that we can do here at Sign of the Times or through the UAC, we definitely are on board. So with that being said, we're going to go ahead and sign off for the evening. Tomorrow night, we're going to be talking about the New World Order and the genocide that's taking place in our community with Brother Ali and Sister. So please join us tomorrow night at 6 p.m. here on Sign of the Times. Thank you, Sister.
Thank you. God bless.
All right, talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
Peace, everybody.